National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for March 2013. This is issue number 337. I'm your host, Froggy Vobey. Our address for the DX Audio Service is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Email for general inquiries is fvobey, that's F-V-O-B-B-E, at realoldiesradio.com. And my phone number for short calls is 419-228-6223. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is now $30. The magazine is now published entirely on CD. To subscribe or renew, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to the website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using PayPal. If you're on the internet, you can alternatively sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with PayPal, but you got to subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without anyone else's assistance. Just a quick note about my voice here. I've had this humongous cold for probably the last 2 months, which has affected my hearing and also my voice. So I hope I can just make it through the DX Audio Service today and get the magazine out to you. Also, just a quick mention, if you call, please remember that sometimes I'm away for a couple of days. So don't get aggravated if you call and I don't return your call immediately, especially with my voice. Also, if you say your phone number, don't say it like you're doing a car commercial because I can't understand it because of my hearing. So say it slow and repeat it if you would, and that way I'll be able to get back with you. Now here's Dave Alpert.
Welcome to the March 2013 edition of AM Switch. Before I get started, I would just like to remind you of the National Radio Club Joint DXer Convention coming up in Minneapolis. It'll be held August 1st through the 4th. And it's a co-convention with the International Radio Club of America, Minnesota DX Club, and the Worldwide TV FM DX Association. The convention will be held at the Holiday Inn Bloomington, located at 1201 West 94th Street in Bloomington, Minnesota. Make your hotel reservations right now to get this special convention rate. Call the Holiday Inn at 952-884-8211. Use the registration code NRC to obtain the special convention rate of $79 per night. This rate includes tax. Cost for convention registration is $45. This includes breakfast each day and the Saturday night banquet, as well as the amenities at the Museum of Broadcasting and the Friday evening pizza fest at the museum. Your check or money order should be payable to the National Radio Club. Send it to Skip Dabblestein at 8008 North Iron Ridge Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85743-1065. Once you're registered, we'll send you an information form so we can learn about your special needs and interests. Please register early so we can include you on the pre-convention information. Skip's email is ckdabel@comcast.net. Now, let's take a look at the AM Switch, volume 80, number 18 to 21, starting off with call letter changes. 670 KWXI Glenwood, Arkansas has changed to KHGZ. 950 WGOV Valdosta, Georgia makes a two-letter call sign change to WGUN. 1010 WGUN Atlanta, Georgia switches to WTZA. 1050 WCVX Cincinnati, Ohio makes another call change, this time to WGRI. Fred Vobey remembers this one as WZIP with that classic self-standing tower just over the river in Covington next to I-75. 1160 WQRT Florence, Kentucky, which was silent, changes calls to WCVX, which may mark this station coming back on the air. 1370 WBZH, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, is now WPAZ. WBZH was silent, so this may mean they'll be back on soon. 1530 WYNE, Northeast Pennsylvania, had a call change to WMCE effective January 24th. Thanks to a sharp-eared NRC member for pointing that one out. Radio Insight reports that WNEW 1580 in Morningside, Maryland, will end its gov.biz format, which was competing with WFED 1500. WNEW is rumored to be flipping to CBS Sports, and they're expected to change calls to WJFK. 1600 WLUE, Eminence, Kentucky, that's a suburb of Cincinnati, changes to WLRS. Coming on the air, we find 680 WA2XPA in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, has their construction permit for U1 400 watts day and 570 watts night finally on the air. 680 WUNO San Juan, Puerto Rico, has completed their CP to adjust antenna pattern. Now it's on the air with a huge 5-kilowatt lobe to the northeast. 700 WZOO Asheboro, North Carolina, applies for their license to cover CP to move to 700 with D1 1,000 watts. They were on 710. This means they're ready to test on air. 740 KBRT in Avalon, California, applies for license to cover CP for U4 50,000 watts day, 190 watts night, and changing the city of license to Costa Mesa. 830 WUMY, Memphis, Tennessee, has applied for license to cover their CP for U1 8,000 watts day and 2 watts at night. Check for this one at Memphis Sunrise or Sunset. 900 WCME, Brunswick, Maine, their CP for U1 700 watts day and 26 at night is on the air. 1010 CBR, Calgary, Alberta, on the air from a new transmitter site in the Chestermere area, about 25 kilometers northeast of the old site. 1110 WOMN, Franklinton, Louisiana, no longer silent. They return to the air February 2nd. 1170 WAVS, Davie, Florida, has their CP to adjust pattern on the air. Look for them to be getting out just a little bit better. 1240 WEZR, Lewiston, Maine, applies for license to cover their CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and 860 watts night. 1330 WKTA, Evanston, Illinois, has their CP for U4, 5 kilowatts day and 110 watts night on the air. 1340 KFMD, Bethel Heights, Arkansas, moves their CP for new station as they applied for license to cover U1, 1,000 watts day and night. This means they're ready to start testing or are already on the air. 1430 WEEF, Deerfield, Illinois, has their CP for U4, 1,600 watts day and 750 watts night, and changing their city of license from Highland Park to Deerfield on the air. 1400 KENT, Parowan, Utah, is no longer silent. KENT returned to the air February 4th. 1430 KZQZ in St. Louis, Missouri, has their CP running with U4 50,000 watts day, 5,000 at night. A little trivia for you, this was the old WIL of country music fame. 1450 WPSE, Erie, Pennsylvania, applies for license to cover CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and 770 watts night. Applications for construction permits, 880 KJOZ, Conroe, Texas. After having received an application to move to Friendswood, Texas, dismissed, KJOZ now applies for U4, 5,000 watts day and 1,200 watts at night, and changing the city of license to Baytown, Texas. Now here's a twist. The transmitter location? Same as the Friendswood application. 1220, the application to restart the station in St. Catharines, Ontario, has been denied by the CRTC. It would have replaced the defunct 1220 CHSC. 1240 CBLS, Sioux Lookout, Ontario, which is a 40-watt LPRT, applies to move to 95.3 FM. 1240 CBXX, Rainbow Creek, Alberta. This LPRT was granted a construction permit to move to 101.5 FM. 1240 WFOY, St. Augustine, Florida, applies to increase tower height and drop power to U1 500 watts day and night. 1340 CBQW, Hudson, Ontario, is like CBLS. If and when CBLS 1240 moves to FM, it will go silent. 1380 WRAB, Arab, Alabama, applies to change their city of license to Union Grove with no change in facilities related to applications from two FM stations. 1420 WAOC, St. Augustine, Florida, applies for U1 2,000 watts day and 230 watts night, co-locating with WFOY in the action we just mentioned. That LPRT on 1450 CBWI, Grand Cache, Alberta, is granted construction permit to move to 92.3 FM. 1450 WBVA, Bayside, Virginia, applies to move their transmitter site, having lost access to the present location. Their sister station also has to move. We'll have that in a moment. 1460 CBKC, Fort Vermilion, Alberta, another low-power repeater transmitter, granted a construction permit to move to FM 105.1. 1540 CBXD, Edson, Alberta, another LPRT, granted a CP to move to 95.3 FM. Here's the other half of that move in Bayside, Virginia. 1550 WVAB in Virginia Beach applies for U1 4,500 watts day and 8 watts night. Same site as WBVA 1450. It's only a quarter mile west move, so it may be moot to most of you. 1560 CBKD High Level, Alberta, an LPRT granted a CP to move to 99.5. And 1660 WWRU, Jersey City, New Jersey, applies to modify their daytime pattern, but they will remain U4, 10,000 watts day and night. The CBC seems to be making good progress towards its goal to completely move all AM-LPRT or low-power relay transmitter network stations to FM by 2015. In an upcoming AM switch, there will probably be more stations transitioning to the FM band. Stations off the air, 750 WRME, Hamden, Maine. The CP for this new station has expired, and it's been deleted. 840 WHGH, Thomasville, Georgia, has a rather unique problem. This station was deleted from the FCC's database, and the license was canceled by a letter from the FCC dated April 6, 2012, after the station failed to file a license renewal by the December 1, 2011 deadline. Now the station, which has been silent since receiving the FCC letter, is pleading for a waiver and license reinstatement. They say the person who knew the FCC rules had left the station, and they failed to file the renewal out of confusion. We'll see if the FCC forgives them. 1240 WVSL, Sellens Grove, Pennsylvania. Their license has been canceled at the licensee's request per a February 1st letter to the FCC. 1400 CKSQ, Stettler, Alberta. Their license is canceled as they have completed the move to 93.3 per Mike Modney. 1500 KIEV in Culver City, California. This construction permit for new station, which expired in 2002, has finally been deleted from the FCC database. Stations back on the air. 1010 KDLA, DeRidder, Louisiana. No longer silent. KDLA returned to the air January 25th from a backup transmitter. 1210 WDGR, Dahlonega, Georgia. Back on. They returned January 18th. 1230 WXCF, Clifton Forge, Virginia, returned to the air on January 16th and asked for their application to extend their silent STA be dismissed. WSDT 1240 in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, which the FCC had not listed as silent, was in fact off the air, but they're now back on. 1300 WKSC, Kershaw, South Carolina. No longer silent, WKSC returned on January 18th with low power at a temporary transmitter site. 1340 KTSN, Elko, Nevada, has returned to the air. They came back on January 20th with reduced power, asking for their application to extend silent operation be dismissed. 1440 WBLA, Elizabethtown, North Carolina, returned to the air on February 9th. 1650 KYHN, Fort Smith, Arkansas, according to member Lee Smith, came back on February 11th. Grants for new stations. A construction permit for 1470 in Anchorage, Alaska, has been granted to Christian Broadcasting Incorporated for U1, 10,000 watts day and night. By the way, the application for 1470 in Soldotna, Alaska, which was a competing application with Anchorage, was dismissed. They applied for U1, 1,000 watts day and night. 1630 WX1CFA, Lakeside, New Jersey, has been granted an application for an experimental station to test a cross-field antenna for digital broadcasting. It'll mainly broadcast on 1630, but may also show up on 1640 in the unlikely event that the long-standing application for a station in Toms River on 1620 is ever granted, or the station may transmit on 1720, to show that the antenna works on frequencies other than the design frequency for cases of multiple stations at a single site. Transmitting power not stated, but it appears to be under 100 watts. Construction permits granted. 790 CFNW, Corner Brook, Newfoundland, granted a CP to move to 96.7 FM. Once on the air, the AM station's days are numbered. 1300 WTIL, Mayaguez, Puerto Rico, granted a CP for U1, 930 watts, day and night. 1430 WCWC, Williamsburg, Kentucky, has been granted a CP for U1, 4600 watts, day and 31 watts, night. And 1520 KKXA, Snohomish, Washington, granted a construction permit for U6. 50,000 watts day and night, which is increasing day power, resulting in two different patterns, one for day, one for critical hours, and one for night, all with 50,000 watts. Applications filed, only one to report. 970 KTTO, Spokane, Washington, applies for U2, 5,500 watts day and 810 watts night. Special Temporary Authority, 550 WSAU, Wausau, Wisconsin, granted an STA for U4, 15,000 watts day and 10,000 watts night due to problems with night pattern. The night pattern typically goes straight south, so those of you to the east, south, and west of Wausau might want to check 550 out around sunrise and sunset. 900 KALI, West Covina, California, was granted an STA for U1, 430 watts day and 38 at night on a leased licensed site. Their old STA expired February 1st, and they stated their CP isn't ready for full operation yet due to copper theft. 910 WRNL, Richmond, Virginia, applies for an STA for U1, 5 kilowatts day, 250 watts night, with pattern at variance because they're replacing the guy wires. 930 WLLL, Lynchburg, Virginia, granted an STA for U1, 1,100 watts day and 42 watts night, with a backup transmitter after their main transmitter failed. 1010 KLAT, Houston, Texas, applies for an STA to operate with their day pattern at variance. Their day pattern normally goes south-southwest, and there's no description on how the pattern has changed, but members up north might want to give 1010 a shot at sunrise or sunset. 1090 KAAY, Little Rock, Arkansas, has been granted an STA to use a borrowed transmitter at U1, 5,000 watts, day and night. A comment on the NRC listserv says they may have experienced a roof collapse into their 50,000-watt transmitter and phasing system. 1140 WRLV, Sailorsville, Kentucky, has been granted a special temporary authority for D1, 300 watts due to transmitter problems. 1180 KERN, Wasco Green Acres, California, applies for STA to operate U4 15,000 watts day and 2,500 watts night during repairs after their main transmission line overheated and melted on January 30th. 1200 KFNW, West Fargo, North Dakota, granted an STA for U4 45,000 watts day and 13,000 watts night, as they're having transmitter issues. 1240 KALY, Lance Rochos de Albuquerque, New Mexico, applies for an STA to move temporarily to an adjacent site, which is the old KKNS 1310 tower, while remaining U1 1,000 watts day and night. 1300 WKSC, Kershaw, South Carolina, applies for an STA, which will be U1 45 watts day and night at a temporary site, because they say their license site is gone. If someone finds WKSC's transmitter site, you might want to return it to them. 1330 WELW, Willoughby, Ohio, was granted an STA for U1 125 watts day and 10 watts night. One of their four towers collapsed in a windstorm recently. 1380 KTKZ, Sacramento, California, has been granted an STA to operate night pattern at variance due to technical problems. 1420 WVOT, Wilson, North Carolina, just applied for an STA for U1 300 watts day and 125 watts night with an emergency antenna of unknown design. 1460 WDDY, Albany, New York, applies for STA to operate with their night pattern at variance. Normally, they send all their signal north-northeast, so give this one a shot at sunrise or sunset and listen for Radio Disney programming. 1540 WYCL, Niles, Ohio, granted STA for D1, 125 watts. According to Wes Boyd, a member of the club, the station experienced massive vandalism at their transmitter site. The FCC grants STAs for up to 6 months. In an emergency, a station can operate with reduced power or, if normally licensed with a directional pattern, can operate non-directionally at one-quarter their licensed power unless someone complains of interference. But the station needs to notify the FCC right away and obtain an STA if the situation will last any length of time. The commission doesn't keep track of whether STAs actually get used. For example, KALI West Covina, California, sought its STA in advance of expecting to lose its lease soon. But if anything changes with the lease and KALI doesn't start using the STA right away, you'll never be able to tell from the FCC website. If a station needs to extend an STA beyond 6 months, it can get a 6-month extension. They are supposed to be progressively harder to get. If a station can justify the actions it's been taking to get back to licensed operation. Usually the FCC grants original STAs within 1 or 2 business days. STA extension requests are usually filed a few days before the 6-month expiration, and the FCC grants them within 6 to 8 weeks. If the extension request gets dismissed, it's usually because the station is back to regular operations already and doesn't need it anymore. If no extension is filed after 6 months, it can generally be assumed the station is back to regular operations. But more often than not, you'd think that it means the station is so accustomed to STA operations that it forgot to file the extension request. Silent STAs and silent station notifications. 580 KRSA, Petersburg, Alaska, applies for silent STA. They have been silent since January 10th for financial reasons. 580 KZMX, Hot Springs, South Dakota, applies to extend silent STA. They've been off since May 6th due to inability to find qualified staff to run the station. So if you want to work in radio, here's your chance. 790 WQSV, Ashland City, Tennessee, applies for silent STA. They've been silent since February 4th, financial reasons. 850 WKGE, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, has been granted a silent STA since it's been off since October 6th last year. 880-KJOZ, Conroe, Texas, applies for Silent SDA. They've been silent since December 31st, addressing what they call significant technical issues. 910-WRFV, Valdosta, Georgia, is granted a Silent SDA. They've been off since December 20th, lining up a new programming source. 910-WPFB, Middletown, Ohio, has been granted a Silent SDA and has been off since November 24th. WELS, Kinston, North Carolina, granted a Silent SDA. They've been silent since November 7th. 1060-KRUZ, Van Buren, Arkansas, has been granted an extension to their Silent SDA. They've been off since March 23rd last year. 1080-WALD, Johnsonville, South Carolina, wants to extend their Silent SDA to, quote, complete repairs and adjustments. They've been off since May 25th. 1130-WEAF, Camden, South Carolina, has been silent since January 1st, citing antenna system and equipment upgrade problems. 1260-WGVM, Greenville, Mississippi, has been off since February 6th after theft of equipment from their studio. They expect to be off a couple more weeks. 1260-KIMB, Kimball, Nebraska, granted a silent STA. They've been silent since October 4th. 1280-KMFR, Pearsall, Texas, silent since January 21st for economic reasons. They did return to the air briefly on January 18th, but a sharp-eared member noted them off on the 21st, and the FCC database confirms it. 1300-WKSC, Kershaw, South Carolina, silent since January 22nd for financial and technical reasons. 1340-KJMU, Sand Springs, Oklahoma, granted a silent SDA since the station's been silent since December 2nd. 1440-KPTO, Pocatello, Idaho, granted a silent SDA. They've been off since October 3rd. 1450-WBVA, Bayside, Virginia, has been silent since April 19th after local authorities shut down their temporary site. 1460-WPON, Walled Lake, Michigan, off since September 27th. 1490-WTQS, Cameron, South Carolina, has applied to extend their silent SDA to complete repairs and adjustments. They've been off since May 18th. 1490-WJDJ, Hartsville, South Carolina, has been granted an extension. The station's been off since June 2nd due to water damage to the buildings and subsequent zoning problems. 1520-WLGC, Greenup, Kentucky, granted a silent SDA. They've been silent since October 4th. And 1550-WVAB, Virginia Beach, Virginia, granted an extension of their silent SDA. WVAB has been off the air since April 19th. Auxiliary facilities, 1180-WHAM, Rochester, New York, applies for backup facilities of U1 6,000 watts day and night from a site which is in southern suburbs of Rochester, about 10 miles east-northeast of the 50,000-watt main site. A lot of bigger stations are getting interested in auxiliary sites just in case there's an emergency. And finally, an AM switch trivia question. We mentioned the new station on 1470 in Anchorage. Can you tell me how many AM stations are licensed in Anchorage without looking it up? Bonus points if you can name the call letters. I'll have the answer on part two of the DX Audio Service. Wow, another packed AM switch for March. I'd like to remind you two things before tossing the mic to Mark. First, if you have any news, corrections, or hear stations go on or off the air, you can send that information to us via Fred or by calling the Musings line. Second, don't forget the convention coming up at the beginning of August. I'm Dave Alpert, and I'll see you in 30 days with another AM switch. Now let's hear from our vacation boy who's been basking on the beaches in Florida, soaking up sun and RF. Here's Mark Durenberger with the band scan.
Hey, thanks, Dave, and hello, all. As threatened last month, we're here with the concluding chapter in a fascinating report by Carl D. Forth on DXing from Chicago. An article that recently appeared in DX News called Clear Channel Stories from Boston to Boise, 540 to 1580. He's scanning the dial and sharing his recollections on what the channels once sounded like. Carl's story, aided from the sound of it by his excellent memory and meticulous logs. On the Mexican Clear 900, CHML in Hamilton is the dominant station, along with XEW in Mexico City. The daytimers with lower power night operations are not showing up here in Chicago. This can be a good sunset or sunrise frequency and is similar in character to 730 because it sounds like it did in past years. On 940, CBM in Montreal was the strong station and was the first Canadian station heard on this Mexican and Canadian clear. Since CBC left the AM band here, CINW was heard, but they in turn left the air in January 2010. Nearby WFAW in Fort Atkinson won nighttime authorization and is usually heard here with a fair signal. Sometimes CJGX from Yorkton, Saskatchewan is heard, along with Des Moines, Iowa, now KPSZ. XCQ in Mexico City was sometimes heard in the 70s. Fresno and Tucson were also heard. This frequency still sports a mix of large and small stations at night. On 1000 in the 70s, WCFL in Chicago, the closest station with its three towers only a few miles from where I grew up, and I spent many days listening to their top 40 format in the late 60s and early 70s. They were one of the last big clears to have a Monday morning silent period, extending at least into the 80s. On Monday morning, KTOK in Oklahoma City would come up, sometimes with XEOY in Mexico City and rarely Como in Seattle. One of my best catches came here when I heard WHWB in Rutland, Vermont, signing on just before WCFL one April morning. 1000, of course, is now all sports WMVP, but I'll always think of this station as CFL. At 1010, the Mexican-Canadian clear was never a good DX frequency because of my proximity to WMVP. For a while, MVP's IBOC locked out anything else, but they've turned it off, and CFRB in Toronto and WINS in New York, which used to dominate on Monday mornings, and sometimes CBR in Calgary, could be heard. Toronto and New York are still the most common. 1020, by most measures, KDKA in Pittsburgh was the first U.S. broadcast station. Maybe. KDKA still delivers a strong, clear signal as they did in the 70s. During KDKA's silent period, it was possible to hear KSWS in Roswell, New Mexico, now KCKN, and KGBS in Los Angeles, now 10Q. A Colombian and a Venezuelan were sometimes also heard on Monday mornings. There are now more than 20 stations on 1020. One notch up the dial, Boston's 1030 WBZ, another pioneer station, still delivers a good signal to Chicago. It's one of the most distant clears heard here with a dependable signal, and about the last station from New England that can be regularly heard. KTWO in Casper, Wyoming could be heard Monday mornings along with XEQR in Mexico City. Today there are some 25 U.S. stations on 1030, compared to three in the early 70s. One of our locals, WNVR in Vernon Hills, is trying to get low-power night authorization for this frequency. If so, it would be the end of good reception of WBZ. On 1040, WHO in Des Moines was and is the dominant station. They had a Sunday morning silent period, but I don't remember hearing much else on this frequency. A Colombian, Radio Tropical, was often heard during an aurora. Today, the only exotic signal is East Indian programming, heard sometimes after sunset from Atlanta. 25 stations now on 1040. 1050. Some years ago, we used to get Chum in Toronto and WHN, now WEPN in New York, and sometimes XEG in Monterey in the evenings. This was also a good sunrise frequency. There are about 50 former U.S. daytimers here that now have night authorization. One is WLIP in nearby Kenosha, Wisconsin, and they're the strongest signal day and night, though not strong after sunset. I still get CHUM sometimes in the evenings, and the French language signal from CKSB near Winnipeg is heard every now and then. 1060 is an interesting DX frequency, with Florida, Arizona, and Alberta all possible in the 70s. Chicago's old KYW call, now in Philadelphia after stopping in Cleveland, still is the dominant with its all-news format. But WLNO in New Orleans is sometimes heard, as is Radio Educacion in Mexico City. KYW, though, is one of the stronger East Coast signals. On 1070, WIBC in Indianapolis, now sports programmed at WFNI, and WTSO in Madison dueled for dominance on this frequency in Chicago. CHLK in Sarnia is sometimes heard in the evenings. KHMO in Hannibal, Missouri, often heard around sunset. KNX in Los Angeles could be heard late at night in the 70s, and you might be lucky and hear CBA in Moncton, New Brunswick at Sinon. I'd like to get an ultralight log of KNX, but no luck so far. 1080, KRLD in Dallas and WTIC in Hartford were the strongest nighttime signals, with WKLO in Louisville sometimes heard in the 70s. There used to be two semi-local daytimers in Pontiac, Illinois, and Valparaiso, Indiana. Now there's one local, WNWI in Oak Lawn, Illinois, with ethnic programming. Their transmitter is down south, but they still pretty much take this frequency out. You can still get Dallas, but Hartford is difficult. Remember 1090 KAAY in Little Rock and their top 40 format, and before that KTHS? And there was the wonderful late-night Beaker Street program, one of the first album rock shows. KAY put up a strong signal in the Midwest. They're still the dominant with their religious format, but not as strong as they used to be. Monday mornings would sometimes produce XCPRS in Tijuana, WBAL in Baltimore, and occasionally Panama. I never heard Seattle here, but others in the Midwest did. 1100 WTAM in Cleveland puts out a clear, strong signal, as they did when they were WKYC in the early 70s and 3WE and CKY, I think. Actually, their signal seems stronger today. On Monday mornings, you could hear KREX in Grand Junction, Colorado, now KNZZ, and KFAX in San Francisco, even, if conditions were good. A Colombian was also often heard here alone on a Monday morning. 1110 KFAB Omaha, WBT in Charlotte used to be the nighttime dominance, and this could be a good sunset frequency with a number of southern stations. Today, it's mostly KFAB at night. On 1120 KMOX in St. Louis, one of the stronger Midwestern clear channels, their broadcasts of Cardinals baseball were a regular visitor on warm summer nights. During their Monday silent period, you could sometimes hear KPNW in Eugene, Oregon. Today, there are 20 stations here. 1130 is loaded with high-powered stations and complicated antenna arrays. At night, there were many powerful stations, but no clear dominant in the Chicago area. WISN in Milwaukee was the daytime guy here, but barely heard at night. KWKH in Shreveport, on top at sunset. And WNEW, now WBBR in New York, was often heard at night. CKWX in Vancouver would sometimes be heard, and KWKH and WBBR today are the dominants. 1140 WRVA in Richmond continues to deliver a strong signal with its directional array. There are several small stations from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Pekin, Illinois, audible at sunrise and sunset. During WRVA's silent periods in the early 70s, there were many interesting targets, including KRAK in Sacramento, now KHTK, KGEM in Boise, and KLUC in Las Vegas, now KYDZ. The latter two were the first stations from those two hard-to-hear states in my logbook. 1160 Country Music WJJD in Chicago, a 50,000-watt local with a nearby transmitter in the 70s, but they went off the air at Salt Lake City sunset, leaving KSL to fade in later in the evening. After a few changes, WYLL is now the local and they're 24 hours with a religious format. After WYLL moved their night transmitter site to the southwest suburbs, KSL can be heard in WYLL's Null, and there are a few other stations here at night I haven't been able to identify through the local, including many eastern targets. The frequency of 1160 has about 25 stations now. 1170 was dominated by three in the early 70s, KVOO, now KFAQ in Tulsa, WWVA in Wheeling, and KSTT, now KJOC in Davenport, Iowa. A strong Colombian was also heard, especially later in the 70s. Tulsa's KFAQ is the answer to the question about the strongest nighttime signal on this frequency. On 1180, WHAM in Rochester was the big boy then and now. We have a semi-local WSQR in Sycamore, Illinois during the day. I remember trying for KFOI in Kalispell, Montana many times during WHAM's Sunday morning silent period, before Eureka finally getting them. The Voice of America could sometimes be heard from Florida in the 70s. This transmitter was later used for Radio Marti broadcasts to Cuba and for VOA Creole programs. Haven't heard this one in a while and unsure of its current status. During a recent trip to Florida, only Cuba was heard on 1180. A Dominican Republic station was also heard during the WHAM silent period in the 70s. There were three stations then, now there are 20. 1190, WOWO and Fort Wayne had a different pattern and stronger signal in the 70s before they were bought by a New York station and had their signal reduced. They're still the strongest here, could be a good sunrise and sunset frequency, however, and KLIF in Dallas was heard Monday mornings. Later, KEX in Portland and CHTN in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island were heard. A new St. Louis station, KQQZ, started nighttime service in early 2010. I have a powerful local station on 1200, but WOAI in San Antonio actually seems stronger than when they were the only station in North America here. How can this be? New WRTO is actually in Chicago, but their transmitter is some 30 miles away and the null angle is right on San Antonio. They also moved their transmitter to a different site on the far south side in 2009, and so they aren't quite as strong at my location. WOAI seems to be putting in a better signal than they used to, but I don't know why. There are 25 other stations on 1200 now. We used to get Spanish here in the 70s, but it was from Venezuela and South America, not the south side of Chicago. 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia, then WCAU, was and is dominant here, but never with as strong a signal as Philadelphia's KYW. Also, KGYN in Guymon, Oklahoma, can still be heard sometimes at night. 25 stations listed today on 1210. At 1220, it's Cleveland's WGAR, now WHKW. They had a loud signal in the 70s, but not as strong now. Cleveland's WTAM 1100 signal seems stronger than this one. They also used to be a great sunset channel, but it seems more of a jumble now. Maybe too many nighttime signals on 1220. At 1500, KSTP in St. Paul and WTOP, now WFED in Washington, have always been the two nighttime strong stations. This can be a good sunrise and sunset channel. Despite my proximity to WOPA 1490 and their transmitter on top of the Oak Park Arms Hotel, during an Aurora XERH in Mexico City could be heard in the 70s. Once, when both KSTP and WTOP were off on a Monday morning, CKAY in Duncan, British Columbia was heard. Canada has since left this frequency. 1510, another Nashville favorite, WLIC, still dominant at night. In the early 70s, I remember the evening R&B show with soulful voice John R. and the Ernie's Record Mart ads. WLAC's silent period sometimes produced WMEX, now WWZN in Boston, or KGA in Spokane, Washington. This could be a good sunset frequency, especially to Texas and the Mid-South. An unlikely trio of stations from disparate locations dominated 1520 in the 70s, KOMA, now KOKC in Oklahoma City, WKBW in Buffalo, now WWKB, and KMPL in Sykeston, Missouri, now KRHW, were often heard. Buffalo hasn't been heard here recently. Sometimes another station unidentified would slip in at sunset or during the evening. Cincinnati's WCKY is still the dominant on 1530 here in Chicago. During their Monday silent period, you could sometimes hear KFBK in Sacramento or KCHY in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This was also a good sunset frequency and a good frequency for tests and frequency checks for some reason. Local WJJG in Elmhurst came on the air as a daytimer in 1974, still signs off with the Star Spangled Banner. 1540 is listed as a Bahamas Clear ZNS1 in Nassau. It could be heard only during the Monday morning silent period of KXEL in Waterloo, Iowa. WPTR in Albany was sometimes heard on Monday mornings also. KXEL is still dominant, with stations from Texas sometimes coming in at sunset. I recently heard China Radio International here from CHIN in Toronto. 1550 is one of the best overall DX frequencies. It was possible to hear many stations at different times, No clear dominant station on this Mexican clear channel. CBE in Windsor, Ontario, which recently left the air, came closest. KKHI, now KFRC in San Francisco, could be heard if conditions were right. Now the unlikely big boy at night is WDLR in Delaware, Ohio, with a Spanish-Mexican format. KLFJ in Springfield, Missouri, also heard with its Branson area travel information. The Cuban Clear 1560 was also a very good sunrise and sunset frequency with many targets. WDXR, now WPAD in Paducah, Kentucky. WQXR, now WQEW in New York. They were primary, with KPMC, now KNZR in Bakersfield, California, sometimes heard. These were 70s catches. Today, WQEW's Radio Disney is the strongest signal most nights, with KGOW in Bel Air, Texas, often strong at sunset. One Monday morning in 1973, the first DX test I arranged, KDDA in Dumas, Arkansas, was heard coast to coast on a wide open frequency. One of the most famous border blasters occupied the Mexican Clear Channel 1570. This frequency was dominated at night by English language broadcasts from 250,000 watt XERF in Cuadricuna, Mexico, across the Rio Grande from Del Rio, Texas. Also, CHLO in St. Thomas, Ontario, and CKLM in Montreal were heard at night. This was also a very good sunrise and sunset frequency. This channel is now a jumble at night with no clear dominant. The Cuadricuna station is heard here, but in Spanish and at lower power than the border blaster days. Our last channel, 1580, possibly the best DX frequency on medium wave. It was possible to receive almost every station in North America broadcasting on this channel. CBJ in Chicoutimi, Quebec was the most consistent signal on the Canadian Clear, though not really strong. KLOU in Lake Charles, Louisiana would show up in an aurora. Otherwise, it was possible to log dozens of stations at sunrise and sunset in 15-minute intervals, all the way to KTUF, now KMIK in Tempe, Arizona. The new evening dominant here is CKDO in Oshawa, Ontario. And that interesting and fascinating report called Clear Channel Stories from Boston to Boise in 540 to 1580 was written by Carl D. Forth and published in EDXN News. You heard it here in two parts. And my voice is just about gone from reading that great article. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days, hopefully with full voice. If you haven't yet done so, please be sure to register early for the combined convention the first weekend in August. We want you to be there to share in this historic opportunity to meet and greet fellow DXers from other clubs who share our hobby. Until we meet you in August or see you here next month, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. And it's with great regret and sadness that I got a call from Don Caskey's wife telling me that he passed away recently on his birthday due to a heart attack. I know many of us love Don as a brother in our hobby, and he was a very good man and a dedicated DXer. Don had a memorial service at Broadmoor Presbyterian Church in Daly City, California on March 2nd at 4 p.m. 73's Don. You were one of the fathers of DXing hobby, and we'll all miss you. You know, Mark Dernberger has gotten me interested in the Perseus software-defined radio, and I have to admit, I use the living dickens out of the thing, especially for overnight recording, because I can set it up at the top of the hour and just kind of see what's there all through the night. I also have my trusty Sony 2010. Who could do without that great radio? But one of my other radios in my arsenal is my Yaesu FT-857D. Now, if you're an amateur radio operator, that number probably sounds a little bit familiar, but that's because it's an amateur radio transceiver. It runs 160 meters all the way up to 10 meters, also 6, 2, and 440. And it also has a fantastic general coverage receiver from 150 kilohertz up to 30 megahertz. And that's why I use it. I love using that for shortwave stations and just to kind of dial around. So I'm always interested in finding amateur radio equipment that can cross-pollinate to the broadcast band realm. And recently I came across this article, which talks about a new radio from China which possibly has some merit. We'll just have to see how it's being received by the DX community. This is titled Low-Cost Chinese-Made All-Mode HF Transceiver from China Introduced. A new all-band, low-priced, high-frequency transceiver from China is on its way. It's called the Feitong, F-E-I-T-O-N-G, model FT-808. The new radio is being billed primarily as a marine band transceiver, but its published specifications read more like a mid-range piece of ham radio gear. For instance, the FT-808 has a receiver range of 500 kHz to 29.9 MHz and a transmitter that covers 1.6 to 29.9 MHz. In other words, it covers the ham bands from 160 through 10 meters and a lot more. The receiver is a double conversion superheterodyne, and both it and the transmitter is capable of operating upper and lower sideband, CW and AM, with 100 memory channels. Tuning appears to be by up and down push buttons with a claimed receiving sensitivity of 12 dB SINED and a squelch sensitivity threshold on SSB, CW, and RTTY of less than 5.6 microvolts. One thing of note, while transmitter power appears to be in the 100-watt or slightly higher range, but according to the public spec sheet, there appears to be no provision to lock out transmissions in the 11-meter or CB band. This will keep it from gaining FCC acceptance for legalized sales in the United States, at least not in its current non-locked-out 11-meter configuration. That said, the Feitong FT-808 carries a delivered list price of $410 United States dollars. Its complete specifications and a video of an Italian ham radio operator using it on 40 meters is online at tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/FEITONG-808-HF. Before we go to part two of the DX audio service, let's check out our CPC report, 1480 KBXD, which is the old KBOX in Dallas, Texas, will conduct a DX test on Sunday, March the 17th, from midnight to 0200 Central Daylight Time, which is Saturday night into Sunday morning. KBXD is testing its brand new 50,000-watt six-tower day pattern. Morse code, sweep tones, special music, and other easily identifiable content will be aired. No email reports accepted. Reports should be sent by regular postal mail. KBXD is graciously covering the cost of mailing out QSL cards, so no self-addressed stamped envelope is necessary. Reports must include a written or printed information with the listener's location, equipment used, and details about how the station was heard. Please note that audio materials will not be returned. Please send the reports to Jerry Kiefer, K-I-E-F-E-R, KBXD, 8035 East R.L. Thornton Freeway, Dallas, Texas, 75228. 1230 KSEY in Seymour, Texas, will conduct a DX test on Sunday morning, March the 24th, from midnight to 0200 a.m. Central Daylight Time, which is Saturday night into Sunday morning. They'll be operating at 1,000 watts, non-directional. The DX content will be Morse code, sweep tones, sound effects, odd music, and other easily identifiable content. KSEY's format is Western Swing and Classic Country. KSEY is located about 50 miles southwest of Wichita Falls, Texas, 75 miles north-northeast of Abilene, and 140 miles northwest of Fort Worth, Texas. Details on where to send the report will be forthcoming in our next edition of the DX Audio Service. 1400 WKBI, St. Mary's, Pennsylvania, will be conducting a DX test on Sunday morning, March the 31st, from midnight to 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, at the top of the hour only. This test will be late Saturday night into early Sunday morning. WKBI will be testing at 1,000 watts, non-directional. The test will consist of 60 seconds of Morse code and sweep tones at the top of each hour only. Otherwise, look for a format that's referred to as America's Best Music, music technically thought of as adult standards, but to the non-radio person, more like soft oldies. WKBI is located 100 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, 60 miles northwest of State College, and 90 miles southeast of Erie. No email reports are accepted. Reports should be sent by regular postal mail only, accompanied by a self-addressed stamped envelope. Audio clips welcomed on CD or MP3 WAV files on USB thumb drives or jump drives. Please do not send cassette tapes. Send the reports to Paul Walker, care of WKBI, 1400 DX Test, Post Office Box O, Ridgeway, Pennsylvania, 15853. And finally, 1490 WVBG in Vicksburg, Mississippi, will conduct a DX test on Monday, March the 18th, from sometime between 8:32 and sometime to just shy of 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, or make that Central Daylight Time. No need to be a night owl for this one. WVBG plans to test with its full-time regular 1,000-watt non-directional power and pattern right around local sunset. Test will likely run 20 to 25 minutes and include a mix of music and Morse code IDs, tones, and sound effects. We're still ironing out the details on this one. The exact time of the test will end. Jim Bohannon starts at 9 p.m. sharp, and QSL details and our friends at WVBG will handle them, but we're still working them out at the present time. And that's our CPC test. We'll catch you on part two of the National Radio Club's DX audio service for March 2013, and hopefully a better voice.
I'm Charlie Van Dyke, and you're listening to the DX Audio Service from the National Radio Club.